talking about Jesus' path to the cross the last couple weeks. We've got this week, we talked about Jesus the healer. We talked about Jesus the servant. And today, we're going to talk about Jesus the equalizer. Sounds like a movie title. But he's the equalizer. And we'll get into these scriptures. As a matter of fact, go ahead and turn in your Bibles as we're getting ready to go there to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we've been hovering around and about that scripture the last couple weeks. As you're turning, I hope you can do two things at once, because this is a day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, even with all those people on spring break, you guys sound terrific today. So thank you for that. It's fantastic to hear that response. And it's really, for me, it's exciting just to be able to say that and to be reminded of that every day. And I appreciate that. Today's scripture reading, before we get to the Mark chapter 10, I'll just read it to you real quick and we'll pray over the scripture reading. But I love this particular scripture, and you'll see where it ties in later in the message. Where is boasting then? It's from Romans 3, 27 through 31. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now listen carefully. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So Mark chapter 10, 2 weeks ago, we bounced back and forth between a couple scriptures in Mark, and we talked about different healings that Jesus had done. And then we looked at Jesus last week as the servant. So today in Mark chapter 10, we'll be reading verse 23 through 31. And we'll do some comparisons there as well with scripture in Matthew. And it says, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. So first he asks it as a question, and then he says, how hard it is. First time he says, how hard is it? But then he tells him, it's very hard. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Amen? Through men it is impossible. Anyone ever have people in your life tell you that? That's impossible. And it could, don't point them out if they're in here, but it could be your parents. It could be a spouse. It could be children. And they're speaking that negativity into your life. You can't do that. You'll never be able to finish that. You'll never be able to do this. Yeah. With men, it is impossible. But not with God, for with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all, and we have followed you. Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, listen carefully, for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And the final verse says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. We talked something similar to that last week as we talked about Jesus Christ, the servant. It says Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he said the masters hold it over those under them a lot of times. But not with Jesus. So let's flip back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to do some comparison. And it'll be very similar, just like last week's scriptures about, hey, Jesus, can I sit on your right hand and your left hand? That was in Mark. Matthew said, their mother came and said, hey, Jesus, can my sons sit here and there? So these will be very similar. In Matthew chapter 19, the very end, verse 23 through 30. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration where the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And again, that last verse matches the other. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. That lines up about the same thing. It says the same thing, comparisons there. But Matthew goes on to give us an example of what he's talking about and what he's looking at. So just continue on in Matthew chapter 20. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. So Jesus went out in the very beginning of the morning. He said, hey, you guys, I'm going to give you some money. Boom, here you go. This is for your work for the day. Went out a couple hours later, said, you guys, go out into the vineyard. Here's your money as well. Near the end of the day, found you guys. Said, I'm going to pay you what is right as well. And so when it came time to pay, he went to the last group. Said, here's your denarius. Wait a minute, that's what he promised the first group. So, as we get, he called them and began with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired at the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. Now listen to verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive even more. And they likewise received each a denarius. I'm going to pay you a dollar. I'm going to pay you what's right. I'm going to pay you what's right. You came at the tail end. I paid you a dollar. Bonus. I guess he's going to pay us a bunch more if he paid them the same thing. But listen to this. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And I love the response in verse 13. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? And then listen what he follows up with. So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Now there's a couple lessons in that. First of all, when we agree to something, let your yes be a yes, the Bible tells us. We agreed to that. Why are we worried that someone was generous to somebody else? You ever think about maybe poor service in a restaurant and you think, that was just a fluke, but I'm going to tip them well and hopefully that blesses them. Maybe your spouse, maybe your friends, what'd you do that for? I think the same thing. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want with mine? Why are you concerned that I bless somebody? Why are you concerned with that? But I love that Jesus, he loves to give us examples. But this is where it comes in, Jesus the movie star, the equalizer. And he comes in and says, I can make the first last, just like you, and I can make the last first. I can equalize things out. See, I can do that. Not me, that's Jesus speaking. But when we respond to our desires, we don't like that. Because being the first group, we think, wait a minute, we deserve more than they got. You got what you deserve. They just got a lot more than they deserve. But somehow we turn that around and say, we deserve more now. I don't know who watches the Ellen show, and I certainly don't watch it. Okay, so recently I began watching several of them, just little clips or whatever. And she has one where she goes out and pays money for acts of kindness. And there was someone that spilled some stuff all over the road. And up comes an individual to help. And they're working. And then someone else comes along and they jump in there. Then here comes someone else and they jump in there. And Ellen's in the little earpiece going, okay, bring him in here and we're going to do this. And right as she does that, another man walks up. He's like, oh, what happened? And he picked up like a screw or something that was in the street. And she said, bring him in too. And so she took the money. And now rather than giving it to one, gave it to all four. Now I couldn't help but think, I wonder if they walked out going, dang it, if those other guys didn't show up, I'd have had all that money to myself. Or maybe she gave him what she was going to give anyway, but gave each one the same amount. But I thought about the guy that picked up the little piece at the very end that walked up right before they walked off to go in the Ellen show. And she said, bring him too. Now let's think about this guy on the cross next to Jesus. Jesus is there, the thief's there. I, for some reason, always pick that guy down on the right side of Jesus. He could have been the left side, but for me, it's always here. And they're looking down and they're having their little quarrel. This guy's going, oh my goodness, this guy, if he's a son of man, he can get himself down there. But, you know, look, he can't do anything. But this guy is having a little moment in his head and in his heart. And he says, wait a minute, we're getting what we deserve because we were thieves. But this guy's done nothing. He said, remember me. And what did Jesus tell him? Tonight you'll be with me in paradise. You talk about the guy coming in at the 11th hour. You're talking about the guy picking up the screw going, let me help. We're going where? Oh my Lord, he couldn't even finish picking up the stuff before he got called off and got the blessing of a reward. This guy on the cross was the same thing. And that's where Jesus Christ is the equalizer. He said, I can take you with that small change in your heart and that small admission to me. And because of that, you're going with me tonight to paradise. Hallelujah indeed. Jesus, the equalizer. On his way to the cross, he is still leveling out that playing field. My Lord, I'm a Sadducee. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a scribe. I'm one of the important people. He says, yeah, on the outside, but your inside is filthy. Oh, by the way, this widow and her two mites, man, we're going to tell that everywhere because she gave everything. We can take about one more of those and we're done with this. So we looked last week, really the week before, and I don't know what it was that God said, we're not quite done with that healing thing. And then we talked about the servant. And then all these things seem to tie in together. But we read in James chapter 1 last week, verse 25, I believe. And he said, it is not good enough for us to come and sit and hear. We must be moved to be doers of the word. We must be moved to be doers of the word. We talked Wednesday night about a training we had at work. And like I said, I don't want to be called a motivational speaker. Because if I got an idiot there, I've just got a motivated idiot. He said, I want to change people. We cannot have a church, and pardon me guys, we cannot have a church of motivated idiots. And I'm not saying you're idiots, I'm just using that analogy that he used. We can't have a church of motivated people that don't do anything. We must be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We cannot be motivated churchgoers. We must be a body of people that are transformed and are being transformed. God's word also says the cross is junk to those that aren't saved. But it says to those being saved, that ongoing process of us being transformed is how I see that. He said, you can't come, accept Jesus, and then just stay there in your same spot. Now, I don't think that the acceptance of Jesus Christ, that person is healed of everything that they're dealing with, and it all goes away. For some it does, for some it doesn't. Man, those draws to addictions are still there. For some, they're gone. For others, they still have them there. So it said, you've got to renew your mind. And you've got to do this daily. And you've got to pick up your cross. And you've got to bear it. And you've got to carry it. It's heavy. Some days heavier than others. But it is heavy. I'm thinking about this last week when we opened up the altar and said, just picture this as a hem of Jesus' garment. And that's what I found so powerful in that moment, was that people said, I want transformation. I want change. Now, I clarified at the end, and I want to make sure I'm clear on this. If you didn't come here, that doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're not healed. It doesn't mean that you have pride, because I said pride can hold you in your seat. But that doesn't mean that it does, or it did, or it is, or whatever. We just opened this up for those that felt called to do that and felt a presence saying, hey, come up here. If you don't feel that presence, man, that's fine. Or that calling to come up there. Sometimes Jesus says, do it right there in your seat. Salvation can happen anywhere. It doesn't have to happen at an altar, at a church. It can happen wherever, in your own home, in your car, driving down the road. So God sent His Son to live for us. And then He sent Him to die for us on the cross. And then He sent Him to be an example for us. And the foot washing we read about last week. Serve one another. This I do as an example. But He sent Him to transform us, to draw us to Him. Now, motivation is great. It may be what gets us to transformation. But if we're just motivated, not changed, and not transformed, that's where the dead air exists. If we were on the radio talking and you heard this, that's dead air. Jesus said, man, if you come to me and you read my word and you do this, that also is dead air. Don't tell me you're a follower of mine, but not follow me anyplace. Don't tell me you're a follower of mine and not do anything. Not admit, not transform, not change, not correct behaviors. He says, I come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And you do that when you follow me. And when you abide in me, and I can abide in you. Now, interesting, as Jesus is doing all this, what we read about last week, He tells them this, and then He goes and He predicts His death for the third time and His resurrection. And then, as we read last week, right after doing this, then they have that little quarrel about, oh, who can sit on His right and left? And the other guys, they're ticked off. And I remember Eric and I talking. I don't know if they were ticked off because they were even thinking about it, or they're ticked off going, dang it, they beat us to the punch. Man, we should have been up there asking Him, but I didn't want to come across too bold to Jesus, so I was going to hang out and wait. And now they ask. I don't know. I'd like to think they just thought, how dare those other two? But it could have been they thought, dang it. They may get the right and left, and we'll have to sit at the other chairs. Our opening scripture from Romans 3 said, He is the God of Jews. It said, is He the God of the Jews only? No, no, no. It said, He is the God of the Gentiles. He is the great equalizer. He took those and said, now I have bridged that gap. And we have a level playing field. It's open to you, and it's open to you. And the great news is, it is open to all of us. And my God, which is the same as your God, said He's all seeing, He's all knowing, and He's all powerful. He can do these things where man says it's impossible. He says, I can do it. I can make it happen. Philippians 4:13 reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. That is a great equalizer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to study Your Word, to open and read Your Word. God, we ask that You draw us to You. but not so we can just say we were close to you, but where we can say we have begun a relationship with you. I can talk to you. I can listen to you. I can be changed by and through you and through your power. Heavenly Father, we thank you for taking that playing field that can be so hard for people to make it in the world. But you say, I can make it happen for everyone. For the woman at the well, you gave her hope and a new life. For the thief on the cross in his final hours, you gave him hope for a new life. For every one of us sitting here today, you give us hope in a new life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. We know as we come to celebrate Palm Sunday next week, Lord, what a great triumphant time that is. Many unaware of the events that lay ahead for Jesus. Lord, help us right now in our hearts. Just prepare us for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, prepare us. Put names in our mind for people to invite, to tell them about the hope Jesus Christ has for everyone as the equalizer. And help draw us closer to you through serving one another. Lord, as we go out this week, protect us in our travels. Lord, guide us in our actions that they glorify and honor you. Everything we do, that we think about the glorification of you through that process, and where we have hurt you, that we're made aware and make note to change. Guide our tongue with the words we speak to one another, those we know and don't know, Lord. That the words we say may edify one another, may hold others accountable in a spirit of love and gentleness. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.